Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Ultimately, I'm going to keep saying it. Get 1% better every day. Just get a little bit better every day.
This episode is presented by BetMGM, the exclusive betting partner of The Athletic. Sign up at BetMGM.com using the promo code 1% better. Hey, welcome back. I'm Stephen Holder. I'm here with Zach Kiefer, and this is another episode of 1% Better. And so we have, I guess, good news for you. The Colts, they won, and how about this? The Colts, they're 500. When's the last time we've been able to say that? Really, since opening day. So they're back even. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 23-17 on Sunday. Look, it's great when you win, but I don't want to think about the alternative, which was losing to the Jaguars again, because they do that. But anyhow, this is, I think, what we expected. I think the last couple of weeks have gone the way we expected, at least in terms of results. We expected them to beat the Jets and the Jaguars. They've done that. And now, Zach, it's all there for them, sort of. Yeah. Opportunity, right? You want to have an opportunity to be in the show. They have an opportunity, and it depends on them. But I think these next two games will really tell us way more about this team than anything we've learned the last 2 weeks. And just how do you see it shaping up?
I'm ready. I'm tired of the Jets. I'm tired of Jacksonville. Let's go. You know, Frank Reich had an interesting comment yesterday. He said, basically, you know, I kind of asked him, I was like, look, are you ready to see what this team's really about? And you put yourself back in position. You climbed back up that mountain that you dug yourself a hole out of, or whatever the metaphor is. And he said, look, why can't it be us? Why can't it be us? Why can't it be the Indianapolis Colts that gets hot late in the season and makes a run? He said that nobody has really separated themselves in the AFC. I tend to disagree. I don't think Frank knew the Tennessee result yesterday, but I'm looking at the standings right now. Titans are 8-2. They are 8-2, and they are absolutely the front runners in the AFC South. That division's all but wrapped up. But then there's a big clump of teams, and the Colts are in there. So like you said, they've given themselves a chance. This is going to be really fun to see how they match up in Buffalo, the site of where their season ended last year. Then they come home to host Tampa Bay in 2 weeks, a couple days after Thanksgiving. So, you know, I think our colleague Bob Kravitz, you know, said it best. This is the playoffs. It starts on Sunday. And we're going to find out if they can do what they have not done all year, and that's finally close out a good team. We'll see if they give themselves a chance. But I think they could beat Buffalo.
Yeah, they're capable of winning.
And that's not based on the second half yesterday.
No. They're capable of winning, I think, literally any game. There's nobody the Colts can't beat. I just don't know that they will, but they can. I mean, they have talent that's comparable with a lot of these teams we're talking about, right? So, and they have a quarterback who can make some plays, even though that was tough yesterday. So, look, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we will see. That's why we play the games. That's why we watch them. And that's, I think, going to ultimately tell us more about them, as I said, than anything else we've learned lately. Now, look, they're not going to get a medal for what they did yesterday, okay? That's not the point. You probably were underwhelmed in a lot of ways as a fan watching that game. I think that's okay. But I also think what they did, in my estimation, was I don't think it was a cardinal sin. I think you have to look at this thing in context. Now, look, the Jaguars have an inept offense. Okay, that was abysmal. Okay, however, their defense, I think, has proven itself as a factor in this league. And this isn't new. The Jaguars have always kind of been a factor. Have always kind of had a basis of talent on defense. It's not what it used to be, but they have built something on that defensive side, at least up front. And it was they gave the Colts hell yesterday. I thought the Colts offensive line got off to a ridiculous start. I mean, unfathomable. I mean, the lanes that Jonathan Taylor had in the first quarter, that was unbelievable. You're talking about 465 wide holes out there. And I don't really think there were a whole lot of adjustments. I just think the Jaguars bowed their necks. And yeah, they manned up, man. They really did man up. And I got to tell you, I mean, they made it really tough. And the offensive line took a step back in the second half. And the pressure was consistent. And lots of blitzes. The Colts didn't react well to those. But anyhow, I think what you saw there was the defense that last week limited the Buffalo Bills to 6 points. Okay? I don't think the Buffalo Bills have trouble scoring. Okay, generally. So there's something going on there. There's something to that. And, you know, again, I think take it for what it is. Understand what you saw. But, look, they found a way to get it done, and they are where they are. So the one thing I would say that does bother me is Carson Wentz and some of these risky plays. Okay, listen, he was under immense pressure yesterday. I don't think that wasn't his fault. I mean, people were – on at least on Twitter, which I know is terrible to gauge by. But, you know, I got some comments about his performance. I don't think his performance was bad. I think he just didn't have an opportunity to really function. However, dude, when the play breaks down, let it go.
He can't.
He's never going to change. He's never going to change.
He can't, man. It's like watching a heart attack happen in real life. It's like,
yep.
Is every game there's one or two of those plays? And then I asked him about it after the game, like, is Frank okay with you doing that? And he's like, yeah, as long as I'm smart. And he tried to defend it by saying, like, look, no one was around Jonathan Taylor when I threw him that left-handed shovel pass that went 15 yards. Impressive distance, really, for a left-handed throw like that.
Right, because, you know, he said no one was around him. But, like, you know, because, of course, you have lots of control when you throw left-handed, right? So
I just feel like you're playing with fire. You're just playing with fire, and it's too risky. And he's been pretty smart most of the season, but there have been these hiccups that just come out of nowhere, and it's going to cost you in a game against the Bills or the Bucks. It's just going to, and it cost you against the Titans earlier this season. I don't know. I don't know where the fans feel about it. I don't think the risk is worth the payoff. Like, I don't think 3 yards to Jonathan Taylor on, you know, 3rd and 3, I don't think it's worth it when half of those are going to get intercepted or end up like a fumble like they did in San Francisco. So, man, it's a little bit like Andrew Luck. But Andrew Luck always was good enough to overcome those bonehead mistakes. So far, Carson really hasn't proven that. I don't think he won the game yesterday for them. I think it was more of he was there, and maybe his mind was off. I think he's having a baby today, this morning. If so, congrats to Carson and his wife.
Yeah.
But it certainly was not his best performance as a Colt yesterday.
Yeah. I do want to balance that the criticism, which is deserved, okay, by saying he did the one thing he did do. You say he didn't win the game, and he didn't, but
he made that throw. You're right.
Yeah,
I don't want to omit that.
I want to give him credit for that, because I think oftentimes what gets highlighted with Carson Wentz deservedly is the play like he had against Tennessee, right? Which is in crunch time, here's an opportunity to make something happen, and you throw an interception with your left hand for a touchdown, which I didn't think was ever possible.
Just,
but anyway,
like, saying it out loud is amazing.
I can't say it without laughing. it's hilarious. So anyway, that really happened. That play will be on his tombstone, okay? And I don't feel sorry for him. Dude, you actually did that. However, I think what you saw yesterday when he gets flushed out of the pocket again for the umpteenth time, he rolls to his right, he eludes a rusher, and he hits Michael Pittman on the run with a strike that really, the ball couldn't have been placed anywhere else and been completed, okay? He threw the ball in the only spot it could have been thrown, which is basically at the sideline, right at the edge of the sideline, and Pittman catches it with great footwork, and getting the 2 feet down, taps both feet, and gets a huge first down to get them in field goal range. Because, you know, if you have to punt there from a much different field position, if you have to end up punting there, you're giving Jacksonville the ball back. Now they're taking a different approach on that final drive. They're not thinking touchdown. They're thinking, okay, we want the touchdown, but we're going to play for the field goal to be safe here. I mean, that's, you would think, or at least maybe are a little less aggressive, and maybe you don't get the opportunity to get that sack fumble and end the game, you know? So I know lots of ifs and maybes in there, but But that's football. That's how it works. And I think it's all about situations. And the situation was different because they were able to get those 3 points. You'd like to see them get 7 and end the game. But again, pretty tough defense that we're facing there. So I think, I don't know that there's any shame in that. But again, give him credit for that. I just think if he could just balance that out by just not doing those really risky things that didn't cost them yesterday, but again, the stakes are high when you make those kinds of plays, and you're asking for trouble. So come on, Carson, get it together. So let's talk about, I think there's something interesting in this game, and this is quarterback related. I want your thoughts on this. I thought it was something kind of instructive for Colts fans in this game. So I took the opportunity yesterday to kind of check out Trevor Lawrence and see how he's doing, what's his progress. And it's the first time I've seen him live, obviously, and I wasn't really impressed. He's struggling right now. However, I think they're not doing enough to help him. There's no question about it. He doesn't have nearly enough help. His receivers are terrible right now. They lost DJ Chark. That's hurt them. James Robinson has been in and out of the lineup, so that's a problem. But he's struggling, and I think you're seeing a guy who looks a little overwhelmed when I look at him right now. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because when you talk about Carson Wentz and going to get him in that trade, the other side of that coin was, okay, try to make something happen in the draft, some miracle Hail Mary type of deal, right? And then what happens is you end up with a rookie quarterback who may or may not be ready to play. Now, I get that. Guys have to start somewhere. And Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be a good player. I think I have faith. He has talent. However, there's a lot of pain involved in that, man. Okay, a lot of pain. And I got to think, you know, think about it. If the Colts had a rookie quarterback now, are you willing to go through that pain? I don't know, as a fan. I don't know that answer, especially when you have an option like Carson Wentz, who, again, not a perfect option, but someone who is a viable, potentially winning quarterback in the NFL and has done it. I mean, I just don't think there's any comparison between those two things. I don't know what Trevor Lawrence's upside is in the long term. Maybe he turns out to be better, or maybe he doesn't. But at least I know what I have in Carson Wentz. I don't know. Am I reaching here?
Yeah, it took me back, you know, to watching a rookie quarterback. And the Colts really haven't had a rookie quarterback, a normal one, in a really long time. I mean, Andrew in 2012 was mistake prone, yes, but he was so far ahead of where a rookie should be. So far ahead. And to relitigate the Carson Wentz trade, I mean, I think it's a little bit different for the fans, because the fans, they want the best case scenario, right? They, like Ballard and Wright, they had to find a solution, period. Like, they had to get a quarterback. They didn't have a starter ready. They decided that Eason wasn't the guy. Clearly, that was the right decision. And Wentz was the best of a lot of mediocre options. Justin Fields was not an option at that point. They were picking 21st. They had no idea he would fall to, what did he fall to, 10th or 12th in the draft? You can't bank on that. That's just bad. That's just bad management. So I think if Wentz is going to be a B quarterback for you, I think you have to live with that. You have to live with some of the mistakes he made yesterday. We've seen him. Fans have gotten on him. That's the reality of it. But he made a hell of a throw at the end of the game to win an ugly game. I think you're going to have a little bit of both. I think that's the Carson Wentz experience. I think that's why a lot of people in Philadelphia were frustrated. But I think it's going to be a progression, and it's hard to have patience. I understand that in this league, because this team is ready to win now in a lot of ways, with a lot of guys coming into their primes. But we overlooked this, and I overlooked this in the preseason. He didn't have a preseason. He didn't have a training camp, and that matters. Neither did the offensive line. They weren't all together until about week 5 or 6 or 7, and that matters in a huge way. I think the version of Carson Wentz that the Colts always envisioned will probably be on display next year if they can get another downfield threat to probably replace T.Y. Hilton. You can see it with Pittman. That trust is there. But I feel like we see, and this is a good transition, I guess, I feel like we kind of know what the Colts are right now. 10 games in, 5 wins, 5 losses. They haven't beaten a team above 500. They have not beaten a team that made the playoffs last year. And think about how different this season would be if they had finished off Baltimore and finished off Tennessee. They'd be right there in the AFC, right there for the one seed, which sounds crazy. And I know we could play the what-if game for hours, and we won't. But that's really what they are. And they can change that story starting Sunday in Buffalo, but I don't think it's going to change that much. And so much of that is related to Carson. But we'll see. It's a big moment for him. He hasn't really had a signature moment as the Colts quarterback yet. He's going to have a couple chances against Tom Brady and the Bucs, and then the week before against, you know, the Bills, who knocked the Colts out last year with Philip Rivers. So that would change that. There's a lot to like, and I wrote about this yesterday. There's a lot to like, and I want to run down the list in a minute of all the, I watched the tape this morning, of all the players that are really starting to play well. But there's a lot of hesitations I have about how this team is playing entering what could be the defining 2 weeks of their season.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, I think when I look at this team right now, I see a good team. Let me rephrase that. I see a team that's very good at times and then very uninspiring at other times, right? Which probably describes a lot of teams in the NFL right now, but that's where they are. And I think their goals are higher than that. You know, their goals are to be very good, like all the time, or mostly very good. And that's not what they are right now. They're a little bit up and down. They are a team who's hard to predict at times. But I think you talked about, we know what they are. The one thing I will say is that we are starting to see an identity. I don't think I saw it as much yesterday, but I think generally speaking, yesterday notwithstanding, what we see is a team that they certainly can run the ball and play power football, but I don't think that's the identity necessarily. I think the identity is they're a big play offense. And they can do that. Now, you're not going to do that a lot against a front like the Jacksonville Jaguars have. But generally, they're a big play offense. And that has been, I think, firmly established in the last three or four games. There is no question.
Can that steal you a couple games? I think it might have to. Absolutely.
I think they're in a position where if they get into a shootout, I kind of like their chances. You know, I think they have a chance. I don't know. Depending on the opponent, I think I like their chances. They can win those kinds of games because they can score. Yesterday was tough. It was tough. Okay, that 23 points includes a defensive score, right? So it's not like they lit up the scoreboard yesterday, but again, Jacksonville, they kind of do that to you. And they ugly the game up, and that's the way they have to play because they can't score. They cannot score. So they just throw a lot of pressure at you and just try to overwhelm you and take you out of your game. And they were successful at that. But then they don't have enough firepower to beat you is the problem. But anyhow, yesterday, as I said, notwithstanding. So they have that identity, big play offense. Defensively, that's where they need a little more of an identity. I think we know defensively their identity right now is they take the ball away. And they did do that again yesterday. It's how they got off the field to end the game. And they did it again. They did it again. Yeah.
We might remember that play in a couple of years if he becomes a stud.
Yeah. So I think we can at least see the path for this team. Okay. And whether those are sustainable, I don't know. But, you know, those are things that can win you games. So that's the recipe right now. And I don't love the defensive recipe because I think you got to get off the field in other ways. But I mean, there is no better way to get off the field than taking the ball away. That I will say. So they got a lot of hands on the ball yesterday, even in the passing game. You know, they got.
All right, let me make the case for the defense. And yeah. I don't know if I believe it. But let me
talk yourself into it, Zach.
All right. And if you guys don't agree with me out there, let me know. Kwity Paye is playing football. Kwity Paye has 21 quarterback pressures in the last five games. He hasn't always gotten home. He's gotten one sack yesterday. But compared to his first five games, he had one. I know he was out with a couple weeks with that hamstring. And I talked to him a little bit last week, and he was like, I was like, how's the hamstring? He's like, dude, this fucking sucks. I'm tired of not playing. So I just said the hell with it. And so he's actually changed his stance before the snap. He's like lowering his butt, he said, because it's a little bit less painful. So this guy wants to be on the field. And who had a big day yesterday, not just Kwity Paye, on the defensive line? Hello, DeForest Buckner. And that's not a coincidence. Buckner was in there, and I asked Buck last week, like, dude, have you ever seen more double or triple teams in your career? And he said, without hesitation, he said, no way. That's because the Colts do not have an elite pass rusher on the edge. I'm not saying Kwity Paye is going to be elite this season. He might be down the line, but he's starting to figure it out, and he's starting to have another move to counter those pass sets, and he's starting to get to the quarterback, and that changes everything for this defense. Now, I'm not saying it's fixed, but if he keeps doing that, That's going to make life easier for Buckner and Grover in the middle, and that's going to give them a shot. I still don't love the secondary, but I do want to give a shout-out to Isaiah Rogers. He played pretty well yesterday. He hustles. And I posed this question on Twitter, and I think the answer was about 100%. Do they give Xavier Rhodes his job back when he's healthy? Do you put Isaiah back on the bench? I don't know how you can. Like, if this team's going to preach competition and production, I don't know how you bring Xavier Rhodes back. He has not had a good season. I know he's been hurt, but he's not getting it done. And I'm not saying Isaiah is a perfect answer, but the dude's making plays. He hustles. He has speed that can help overcome some of his mistakes. But I don't know how you put Xavier back on the field. That's my thought. Now, I don't have an answer for you at safety. I do not have an answer. Kari Willis is out at least another game, maybe two, with that calf. He's on IR. That's concerning. But if you can get a little bit of pass rush from Deo, from Quiddy, from Buck, that makes all the other problems a little bit less severe. So that's my case for the defense. Where do you stand?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think it's reasonable. I think, okay, look at
the Chiefs. It's glass half full. I get it.
Yeah, that's okay. But I mean, look, here's a good example. I'll use another AFC example. Look at the Chiefs, okay? We've been laughing at their defense for like half the season. They've literally been a punchline. I think they've probably
horrible.
Been like
they
a late night punchline, okay? And little by little, they're starting to play better. I don't think you're going to necessarily say there's some vaunted defense. But, I mean, watching them last night, I thought that was a very good performance last night. And against a Raiders offense that has scored a lot of points this season, by the way. So, it can happen over the course of a season. You know, injuries are a factor. So, now guys start coming back. You're seeing that with the Chiefs. They're getting a little healthier. Their best players on defense are playing better.
Kenny Moore is playing better for the Colts. That's on that topic.
Exactly. So I'm not saying they're the exact same team, but I think there are some parallels. Both teams can score points. Clearly, you're taking Mahomes over Carson Wentz. I'm not saying that there's some sort of parallel at quarterback. I'm not saying that. But I think just in terms of how they go about winning, right? They're both teams that rely heavily on their offense to score, to win games.
Right.
That's okay. That's all right. That's just how they're built right now. And then defensively, you know, they want to make big plays and just kind of hang on for dear life. That's kind of the goal.
But if the Colts offense could keep rolling and get some leads, then you can start to see the pass rush start to tee off. That's how this whole thing was built. That's what they're trying to copy from the Peyton, Dwight Freeney years, all that. Maybe that's the recipe that it took them 10 weeks to find. But I think Quiddy Pay could be a difference maker down the stretch.
Yeah, and I think that's what you want to see from a rookie pass rusher. You want to see them flash, and you want to see those flashes often. I don't expect consistency. I don't think that's reasonable to expect from a rookie pass rusher. What you're going to get is sort of occasional flashes, and you want them to be more and more frequent. And that's happening. I thought we saw some flashes early from Quiddy Pay, but they were like very occasional. And some of that was due to who he was playing against. He went up in the first 2 weeks of the season, he went up against Andrew Whitworth and Dwayne Brown at left tackle against the Rams and Seahawks. And it's like, yeah, well, of course he didn't have any impact in those games. He had two of the toughest matchups he's going to see all year. And so you're going to see that from time to time in the NFL. I mean, it's just like, it's like anything else out there, right? If you have a receiver who's going up against, you know, an all-pro corner, you don't expect him to have a big day. You're probably not going to want to start him on your fantasy team that day. It's no different for a rookie pass rusher.
I mean, Jonathan Taylor, it took until week 8 or 9 last year for him to really figure it out. I mean, and that guy is literally one of the best players in football right now. So it takes a little while for all of these guys, especially at these key positions.
I do think that we're starting to see something from these two rookie pass rushers that I think there's some reason to feel optimism about what they can be. It's not going to happen yet, and I don't expect it to happen yet, but I think what you want to see is what we're seeing right now. They're impacting games. I mean, if you get that from your rookie pass rushers, I think that's more than you should have even expected. You know what I'm saying? Because it's basically on-the-job training. Nothing they did in college is really applicable. Okay,
right, and this is totally different. This is the gamble you took. right? You let Autry go. You let Houston go. Autry's having a monster season in Tennessee. They're 8-2. But you bet big on these rookie pass rushers. And you knew they weren't going to light it up from the start. Not just because Deo was on the sideline, but very rarely do rookie pass rushers light it up from game one. And it was going to take some time. And that's the long haul play the Colts are making. It's cost them. I think it's fair to say it has cost them this season. They didn't have a great pass rush the first 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 weeks, right? And they lost some games because of that, among other things. But we'll see. We'll see how the last seven go. But I think you're right. I think the light is starting to come on for Kwity Paye. And you saw Deo. I mean, how did he make that play, the strip at the end? With those long-ass arms that he has. What does Ballard always look for? He looks for traits. And I was even talking to Deo yesterday after the game. This guy is not 100% yet. He is still working back. And the last thing to come is that explosion from that Achilles return. And we saw that with Marlon. Marlon wasn't the same in training camp. And just keep an eye on Deo. He's not going to see a ton of snaps every week, but he has got that length and that disruption that you like to see. And as he starts to build that explosion, they're going to be a fun tandem to watch. But again, you're going to have to live with that because it's going to have to take some patience.
Yeah, and I think, you know, listen, there's a lot of criticism about Matt Eberflus and what he's done this year, and it's warranted, right? I mean, they've been giving up way too many completions this year. I mean, they're going to be on the high end anyway because they're a zone team. So you're going to give up a lot of completions. The question is, do you give up first downs? And they've given up a lot of first downs, right? So I don't get caught up in the numbers, but again, the criticism has been fair. Now, what I will say, though, is it is interesting when you start getting players back from injury and you start getting players who are more experienced and playing better. Now you have a bigger menu as a defensive coordinator. And I will tell you that Trevor Lawrence yesterday talked about how, man, you know, they used a lot of different pressures on me today. He was talking about some of the zone pressures they ran, and they're switching things up a little bit. Some of that might have been because they had the young quarterback, so they're trying to confuse him, and he's more easily confused than maybe Josh Allen next week. You know, you're not going to go blitz crazy on Josh Allen because, you know, he's seen a thing or two. But I do think that also speaks to the fact that coaching is, you know, we talk a lot about football not being about X's and O's, and this is such a horrible cliche, and you're gonna hate me, Zach. But
let's do it.
Yeah, right. Like, football is not about X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and Joes. That's a Venturi, isn't that a Venturi reference? Ooh, I think.
I don't know.
I think he says that. He says that a lot. But anyway, it's cliche and it's corny. It's also true. Okay, it's less about the coverages and all that, and it's more about the playmaking. You know, don't get me wrong. Yeah. The coaching matters. The scheme matters a lot. Okay. It does matter. But the best scheme doesn't work without plays or players. Yeah.
Frank says that all the time. It's a player's game.
It really is. So these guys are playing better. The results are better. Right. And I know, look, we can bitch and moan about the second half against the Jets. I don't love it either. It wasn't good. I don't think it was anything to, I also don't think it was anything to, like, you know, have a heart attack over. I really think it was a couple of things. They were rotating some guys in and out. They were up big. I think they were playing really soft, and which is not necessarily the wrong strategy. I mean, you're not going to go play, you know, sort of really tight man-to-man coverage and, you know, put it all on the line when you're up 4 touchdowns. No. You're like, let them have the 10-yard, let them have the 7-yard completion, right? Let them make them go 80 yards. Well, they did, and good for them. But I think in the grand scheme, they probably would have played that a lot differently if the score were much closer. So it is what it is. I don't think there's a big deal. I don't think that's a big deal. So we'll see. They're not going to have much bigger tests than they have the next 2 weeks. We'll just have to see how they go. So let's talk about this AFC picture. You talked about the Titans being out there, and they are. They're 8-2. They're going to win this division. I'm going to say that now. They're going to win this division. I'm all about bold predictions. But then it's, look, the Bills, Ravens, they're both 6-3. The Chiefs are 6-4. The Steelers, got the
they're
tie.
5-3-1. Because they couldn't beat the Lions.
But then, you know, you've got this jumble of teams that have already had their bye weeks, you know, that are 5-4, and then Colts at 5-5. So, I mean, look, they're by the numbers, they're 10th in the AFC right now. Seven teams will make the playoffs. But here's the thing. They're going to play a few of those teams in front of them. They're going to play the Raiders. They're going to play the Patriots. Watch out for the Patriots, by the way. They're going to play the Bills. So we'll see. I mean, they have an opportunity to change that picture, and it's up to them. What do you think the next 2 weeks look like? I'm not asking for a prediction, but I mean, I don't know. When you think about the next two games, how do you see the Colts matching up?
Yeah, it's interesting because I go back to that Buffalo game. It was so different with Rivers at quarterback. How they hung in there with Josh Allen and the Bills in the playoffs, I thought was really impressive. Actually, they really should have won it, right? We've talked at length about the fourth down call and the red zone stuff, right? Buffalo's good. But I think if you're the Colts, and you know, I was texting some people last night, it's like, okay, they dug themselves a hole. They were bad early. The line was a mess. Carson was hurt. They climbed back to 5-5. They've won 4 of 5. There's nothing easy about that. I don't care what your schedule looks like. They've given themselves a chance. And here's why I like their chances against Buffalo. Not necessarily to pick them to win, but Jonathan Taylor is one of the best players in football right now. And he's had 7 straight games with a 30-yard touch or more. I mean, the home runs are just coming, right? Every time we watch him, it's like he could take one. He can change the game. And Pittman's become one of the most reliable third down targets in the league. I mean, I think he was 8th in receiving heading into last night's game. That guy's coming. So those two guys can change things. If you get the good version of Wentz, you can put some points on the board. And you might be able to hang with Buffalo if it turns into a shootout. And what do you do on defense? If you can get to the pass rusher like you have been, you're going to have to turn the ball over. But I think Buffalo's beatable. The question is, are we going to get the Colts' best performance of the year, and can they finally finish? They haven't been able to finish. They know that. I was talking to, you know, Zaire Franklin yesterday, and he said, look, man, we're still not over that Tennessee loss. Like, we're still not over that loss. We knew that was a big one. And I said, well, is Buffalo, like, the new big one? Does this feel like your season? He's like, man, it's just another game. We know we can play with good teams. They did it in Baltimore. They did it in Tennessee. They just haven't finished them. So that's the fun part. And then you got Tampa coming to Indy. I have a bad feeling that Brady's going to be able to pick apart that zone if he's got protection. He's just going to dice them up in the middle of the field. They've got elite weapons at wide receiver, even with Brown and Gronk out. They are leaky in the secondary, but they've got two of the best linebackers in football. That'll be fun, but I think it's fair to say you've got to split these two, right? You've got to split Buffalo and Tampa at the very least. If you don't, you might as well put the nail in the coffin, because then you got Houston. That's a win. But then the Patriots are playing as well as anybody in the AFC outside of Tennessee. You go to Arizona on Christmas. But like you said, you've got New England, you've got Las Vegas, you've got Buffalo. That's 3 AFC playoff teams in that jumble. And if you can get hot, if you can beat 2 of those, then you're probably going to find your way into the wild card. We'll see. But they've given themselves a chance. So at least they've got something to play for over these last 7 games.
Yeah, I think looking at this Buffalo matchup, I actually think this is the one of the next two. I think this is the one. I kind of agree with you. I think this is the one that they can take. Not saying they will. I'm saying I think they match up, put it that way. Look, I know what they're up against offensively. Josh Allen was hot yesterday. Hit some big throws. Lots of big plays. The Jets, though, defensively are absolutely terrible. You should know that if it's a Colts fan, all right? So I don't know what to take away from that. I don't know if they're quote-unquote fixed, talking about the Bills. I don't know that that means they're fixed. So I think they have some vulnerability. I think their defense is good, not great. I think the Colts will be able to make some plays. I still trust the Colts' offensive line to generally protect well. I think you're allowed.
Fisher's struggling, though.
Eric Fisher is struggling. Look, you can have a bad game. That does happen. And I don't mean him. I mean the unit, right? They had a bad game, I would say. I think you have to understand that's going to happen. And I think that was their game yesterday. That was certainly a bad game for the offensive line, one that started so well. But look, I mean, I think that offensive line, if it holds up, I think that Carson Wentz will make some plays. I mean, I think that we have seen, we have seen that from Bill's opponents this year. There are opportunities to make plays. I think they will do that. The question is going to be, can they get enough of a pass rush on Josh Allen to not allow him to stay back there and run around and find Stephon Diggs down the field? Because you know he will. And that's the other thing with him. You can't just rush him. You have to also contain him, because the guy gets out of the pocket and he does just amazing things. So it's a double-edged sword playing against Josh Allen. And this team, you know, we saw Lamar Jackson hurt them in that respect. Now, Lamar Jackson, clearly the superior athlete, but Josh Allen is definitely a high-end quarterback athlete. So they're going to have to deal with that, and they're going to have to show a lot of discipline. The Colts also are big. Or defensively, they really fall prey to misdirection. So you know the Bills are looking at that and maybe incorporate some of that into their attack and their game plan this week. So they got to be ready for a lot of things. I think the Bills are a team that can throw a lot at them and use their speed against them, and then use their quarterback's athletic ability to make things hard on the Colts. So that's what we saw last year in the playoff game. I mean,
yeah, they needed a play. Thing.
Yeah, when they needed to play, that's what they did. The Bucs, look, I think they're a team that they're not going to panic after yesterday's loss. You know that's not going to happen. Tom Brady, I think, runs that locker room. They're going to be even keeled. I don't know who they play off the top of my head next week, but I'm not worried about the Bucs because they're a little bit like Shaquille O'Neal in his Lakers days, right?
Right.
I'll be ready in the playoffs.
Dog days of the season.
Yeah.
When is it December? When is it time to turn it on?
Right. They're going to win the division, ho-hum, and, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs and they'll be ready. So we'll see. But look, man, it's about opportunity. And look, I'll leave you with this. I mean, Carson Wentz, throughout all these games, each one of these is an opportunity for him. All right? I think, honestly, Carson Wentz, you know, still gets viewed as, you know, sort of this joke. And it's kind of unfortunate, you know, and I don't see that from this guy. And I know yesterday wasn't pretty, but like, if you've watched Carson Wentz through these 10 games, I don't know how you come away with a negative impression about how he's played this year. You can have that impression in spots.
Right.
But I mean, listen, if you're going to go play the best teams in the NFL, I want a playmaking quarterback. Well, they have that, so right. They have a chance.
And the shame of it is, and you nailed it, is on the highlight shows, they're going to show the dumb plays he made, the left-handed throw, and all that. And I'm not excusing those, because right. Those are head-scratching. I mean, you should see our reactions in the press box. Like, what the hell is he doing? But then you got to show the throw to Pittman, the 27-yarder that essentially sealed the game. I mean, that's legit stuff that not a lot of guys in this league can do. The best of them can, the best 10 or 12. And Wentz can make those plays. Now, he makes the dumb ones too, but he made the third down play. And that was a tough throw on the run towards the right sideline. Great footwork from Pittman as well. But that's sort of the Carson Wentz experience. There's the bad. There's the good. You need to see more of the good the next couple of weeks. And if they get it done Sunday in Buffalo, which is a big stretch, it would be the biggest win of the year. Think about how much more amped up Lucas Oil would be for Tom Brady coming to town. Remember, Robert Mathis goes in the Ring of Honor that day. I've heard a rumor that Adam Vinatieri will be on hand to bang the anvil. Mm. So you're going to have a pretty lively post-Thanksgiving atmosphere at Lucas Oil. If they're 6-5 and there's a lot on the line against the Bucks, look, you don't need to – I mean, they showed Tom Brady on the screen yesterday, and the boos were very resounding. So I still feel like this is –
I was so confused when that happened.
Yeah, so Carson was naming his favorite quarterbacks ever, and I think it was Favre – and Brady and Manning, and the boos were resounding. So this is still an anti-Tom Brady town,
never
no doubt,
change,
even though
Indy.
He's not playing for the Patriots. And there would be – it would be pretty amped in that stadium on that Sunday. So the Colts might get a lift from that. In the next few weeks, they could change the season. But to this point, they haven't done. They haven't beaten anybody good. They haven't finished those games out. That's their story. Are they going to change it? That's why I'm excited about the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would agree. And I say bring it on. Show me Carson Wentz. Let's see. You know, I think this is why he's here. This is why he's here. Okay. To give you a chance in games like these And I think they have a chance. There's no question. They have a very good chance in either of these games. I don't know what'll happen, but I'm here for it. All right. I want to see the show. So let's see it. All right. So that's the show. Colts have a shot. They're in it. They're 5-5. They're 500. So they're not a losing football team today. So congrats. And we'll see whether that changes next week.
Plus, Philip Rivers is on the Manning cast tonight. So double dose of good news.
Did not know that. I will definitely be here for that. Oh, by the way, Hard Knocks this week. Check that out. They've been all over the building filming. We've seen them. We've been trying to stay off camera. I don't know how successful.
Don't be surprised if you hear your favorite podcast with a couple of snippets in Hard Knocks.
Yep. Spoiler alert. Just a little Hard Knocks preview there for you. So anyway, check that out. We can sprinkle some of that into the podcast next week as well. I'm sure it'll be lots of interesting content there. So thanks for listening. Lots of great content on The Athletic. If you're not subscribed, now's your chance. Please go to theathletic.com. And if you are a subscriber, we so appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for reading. I'm Stephen Holder with Zach Kiefer.